This week on Barbell Shrugged, we talk about the Garage Games 1, the Worldwide WOD, programming at the garage, high bar versus low bar back squat, with special guest Justin Metz and Simon Nickerson.
What's up, guys? It's CTP, and you're listening to Barbell Shrugged. Make sure you check out our video versions of all these podcasts on our website, fitter.tv. On all of our video versions, we include our Technique WOD, which is our series of technique instruction videos for CrossFitters, free previews of some of the seminars we put out, and then sometimes come out of the studio and have special video segments such as cooking in the kitchen with Brandy that one time and out in the pool with Lucas, and who knows what the next thing we'll do is. So make sure you check out our website, fitter.tv. And watch the videos as well.
Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Mike Bletso here with Doug Larson and our guests, Simon Nickerson and Justin Metz. These guys are coaches at the garage and what's the town?
Woodstock, Georgia.
Woodstock, Georgia. Real close to Atlanta. It's in the Atlanta metro area. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the stuff that's coming up. You guys also don't just run a gym, but you also run a bunch of competitions. So we're going to talk a little bit about Garage Games 1, and you want to talk about the Garage Games 1 convention, Simon.
Absolutely.
What's all that about?
So the cool part about Garage Games 1 this year is we're moving inside, so we don't have to deal with any more snow or sleet like we usually do. But we're adding a convention component, and we're going to have speakers come to the competition and speak in between sessions, so the athletes will get to learn a little bit while they're competing. We're going to have people talking about mobility. Doug's going to be actually there on Saturday talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be talking about how to expand your gym's reach in the community, how to build that community stronger, and just several other pertinent topics to gym owners and athletes during the weekend.
What other topics are you looking to have?
So we'll probably be talking about food quality. We don't have anyone nailed down yet, but we are talking to some very very good folks about that. So food quality, community reach, community building, mobility, all very important stuff for sure for an athlete or gym owner.
How many is it going to be, like an all-day Saturday, or is it going to be like, you know, I mean, how many speakers do you think you're going to have?
We're looking at having about half dozen speakers.
Okay.
Is this for anybody and everybody that's there, or is it a totally, you know, separate event, just kind of in the same venue, but you have to pay for it separately, or is it free, or how does that work?
For one, we're going to include it with athlete registration or spectator tickets. So if you have either one of those, you're in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Very cool thing. We're trying to help help build the community. We love this thing, and we want to see it get bigger and better. So we think this is one way we can do it.
It's just something for people to do kind of in the downtime in between events?
Yeah, absolutely. In between watching Rich Froning jump over Dan Bailey.
Okay.
Which will happen.
Again.
You plan the WODs accordingly. It'll come out like, how can we make Rich jump over Dan? That'll be it.
We're noodling. Give it time.
Noodling? Jump out with the fish? You guys also have something called Worldwide WOD?
Yeah, we have Worldwide WOD. There's also a second component to it that we've added this year that's going to be a little different. Worldwide WOD, of course, is just an online competition similar to the Open in that you submit your scores, you get ranked, and winners are picked. We're not picked, but decided. We don't pick the winners. But Resolutions is actually going to go out into the gyms. So rather than everyone submitting their scores anonymously online, you're going to be able to go to a gym, do the exact same events that everybody across the whole country is doing, and then get ranked from there. So it's a little bit less intense than a normal competition. It is going to be athlete judged. The competitions will probably be a little smaller, but you will get to see scaled beginner athletes, and there'll be RX athletes as well. But you'll get to see how you did compared to everybody in the whole country.
When does that start?
That's going to be, we're setting up gyms to host it now. The competition will be January, mid-January on the 13th.
Okay. If you own a gym or, you know, coach at a gym, how do you get involved in that?
You can just email us games@crossfitgarage.com and we'll set you up and get you ready to host a competition.
How many weeks is that going to go for?
Just one. It's one day. Everybody does the same thing on one day. Scores get rammed into our system and then we...
So you're going to have several events in one day?
We've got 30 on board right now.
30. If you're in Mississippi, Kentucky, or Louisiana, you can just call me. 901-331-6417.
Ooh, That's dangerous, dude.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
That's an X's number, by the way. Yeah. It's not his.
So how do you guys, so you both are coaching at the garage in Woodstock, and yep. Simon, you do a lot of the programming.
Yeah. I think I'm getting a phone call.
Yeah, I do most of the programming.
This isn't live.
Nobody heard me.
It's my mother.
Somebody loves you. Well, what are we talking about?
Programming, mother.
Programming.
Yeah. Okay, so Simon does most of the programming at the garage?
Yeah, okay. And we've sort of done something different. One of the owners, Wes Harper, and I have spent many weeks talking and working out a strength program for our beginner athletes. Most of our gym is they're novices or intermediates at best. Mm-hmm. We don't have a whole lot of established athletes come in, which is great fun to work with those folks because that's where you see the most change, right? And an mm-hmm. athlete that is coming off of, you know, 10 years on the job and mm-hmm. dealing with the family and all that stuff. So the basic structure of our programming is that we have a strength component every single day, and then we have a Metcon every day. Not really life-changing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the biggest difference would be that we don't hit... You might go a month or 2 months without snatching or without doing a squat, clean, and jerk.
Mm.
And the reasoning behind that is just that we're not looking to build an athlete in 6 weeks or in 8 weeks. We're looking to build an athlete over a year, 2 years, 3 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody comes in and they say, I'm going to the CrossFit Games next year, yeah, we may do something a little different for them. They're probably not going to wait a month before they snatch heavy again. But the way it works with beginners and the way we've seen it through our experience as a gym has been that it's okay to have big lapses in between those movements because there's just so much to cover. So 1 week, we'll do 3 weeks of strength training and then 1 week of skills.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do that twice, same thing, and then change it.
So you do 3 weeks of strength training and then 1 week of skills. So that's kind of like your unloading week.
It's a deload.
That's what it sounds
basically,
like.
Basically, yeah. The skill week will also it'll end up being high reps sometimes. We'll put double unders or muscle ups in there, and you'll see that three or four times during the week, depending. So
you're mm-hmm. talking about that being like on the strength side of things.
Right, instead yeah. of the strength. Metcons gotcha. Always stay. We also use that skill week to do really heavy Metcons because Greg Glassman likes to say you want to blur the lines between strength and cardiovascular conditioning. So that's a week where we can actually take some time and do that and put some 225 clean and jerks in with air squats and pull-ups and
gotcha.
That sort of fun stuff.
So mm-hmm. you guys are programming for this for – You don't have like a beginner's program. You're not talking about a beginner's program. This is just how you program for the gym.
This is the whole overall. Gym. Yeah. Yeah, fundamentals is a separate okay. operation.
Okay. And you guys do have fundamentals.
We just started it just okay. when I got up there. So it's been going on for about a month now. It's something that the gym didn't have before, and it's something they've been trying to do. So
mm-hmm. how do you guys structure that?
It's 3 weeks, 9 classes, 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. And they're just building on each other. First week, most basic, then intermediate, and more advanced movements third week. So
mm-hmm.
I had some experience. We did 2 weeks down where I was at before. And mm-hmm. I think any more than 3 weeks, people just lose interest.
Mm-hmm.
And but I think any less than 2 is definitely not enough to get all the information to people. So
mm-hmm.
What do you guys do? Isn't it?
4 weeks.
Ours is 4 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, 12 sessions total.
Okay.
So how many sessions are you doing in a week?
Three?
Yep. Okay.
So same, pretty much same thing, yeah.
Okay.
Are you guys having, how big are your classes?
For the fundamentals?
Yeah, you have a cap on fundamentals?
No.
No.
We'll just pull more coaches
yeah.
if we have to.
Yeah.
We've had some really big fundamentals classes lately. Like we just, yeah, like you said, we just pull in another coach if needed. We've had classes for fundamentals in the evenings that are 35 people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing for us is just, we want to make sure that we have a low ratio
yeah.
of coaches. Then if you've got a bunch of coaches,
we'll have like 4 coaches in those classes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we're lucky because we have our people who are designated to be coaching that night. And then Doug and I will be hanging out. And then
mm-hmm.
if we have to go out there or try and pull someone else, then we can just, we're already there to do it.
Yeah.
So, it's nice when you have that problem. It's like, oh, I have to go coach. Mm-hmm. Not that many people.
The It's too much money.
Can't we didn't count say it about all. Money. Just okay. people.
Yeah.
Just a whole lot of fitness.
Do you guys do like a 2-week free trial or anything like that?
No.
No trial?
No, you come in for an intro class and then we'll put you into fundamentals right after that.
We do have a living social thing that we just started that will be over by the time this airs. So it's cool to talk about. But that's
are you already having like a good or a bad experience with it? Or is why you say it like that?
Depends on how you look at it. Yeah, we've gotten a barrage of emails and phone calls already. It just started yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sold fairly quick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. I think that's a really interesting topic. And it's probably going to be different for you guys because you're in such a CrossFit dense city.
Yeah.
And everyone knows what it is there. In Memphis, it's still kind of.
So there's a lot more people doing CrossFit, but there's also a gym on every corner.
Right.
It's like Starbucks.
Yeah, quite literally.
Mm-hmm. So probably you're probably going to get a lot of people just a bunch of deal seekers.
Basically.
So you may not get a good conversion out of that. What
we're looking to see. We'll see. It's like, oh, we had 100 people show up.
Yeah.
We kept four of them.
What's the price on your that Living Social? What was it?
I don't remember. What did Eric put it at?
It's $49 for a month.
Yeah.
And what do y'all normally charge for a month?
$174 with no contract.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Y'all do contracts at all?
Yes.
Yeah, we do now. Just because we had so many people that wanted an auto draft.
Yeah.
So it makes it a little easier. And you don't have to come up with a bunch of money up front.
Gotcha.
Yeah, you guys do the same thing though, right? But you guys actually have like 18 month, right?
What do you mean?
Yeah, as far as contract, which part?
You do the auto draft too.
I mean, we don't do month to month at all.
Yeah, okay.
So
we pretty much only do auto drafts.
Yeah.
I don't think we don't have any cash people right now.
No.
No.
The only people that's we what? Had cash at any time is because like when we first opened up, I did cash with people with maybe five.
Yeah.
And they were kind of grandfathered in. And
that's what we're trying to do. That
doesn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. You don't want to be a bill collector. You want to be a coach and, you know, gym. So,
have you guys ever run a deal like that where you ended up with a bunch of Groupon collectors?
Yeah. Yeah. We do it all the time.
Yeah. How'd it work out for you or what usually ends up happening?
Well, like he said, it's not super saturated here in Memphis. So we get a lot of people that come in from Groupon that have never heard of CrossFit before. And so that's good because we expand into a market that otherwise would never hear about us.
Yeah.
And then we actually get a pretty good conversion off of it. You know, we lower our fundamentals, you know, by 75% on price, and then, but we never discount membership for anybody, at all, ever. So,
neither do we.
You know, we get a good conversion from Groupon, and it's totally worth it for us to discount the fundamentals because if they do sign a 3, 12, or 18 month membership, you know, we easily make our money back compared to the money that we lost, quote unquote, from discounting fundamentals. And we get people that do sign 12 and 18 month memberships that come in off Groupons all the time.
Yeah. We made a mistake with Groupon like the first time, and that was years ago when they first approached me. And we ran like a $20 deal for like, you know, it was like 2 weeks of free training or 2 weeks of training for $20.
Oh, wow.
And what ended up happening is that attracted a whole different type of client.
Yeah.
Or a client that wasn't going to sign up for membership. Mm-hmm. So what I learned from that is, you basically have to try and negotiate with Groupon or Living Social or whatever to get the highest price possible. They're not going to want to, you know, they've got that price point where they know, you know, if they do this much volume, they'll be able to make more money. But, it, you know, they make the price too low, then we won't want to do it. So, like, I've been on the phone with those guys several times just trying to push the price up, like another $10 or something like that. And I think the higher you get that number, the better the conversion is going to be. I think a lot of people who are going to end up joining anyway, a lot of times, like one of those Living Social deals or Groupon deals will end up being just what kind of pushes them over the edge. Like, I've been wanting to do that. And then they see it. It's like, well, perfect opportunity. I might as well do it now.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of those people will end up showing up, and that's really good. But, you know, if the price is too low, then yeah. And I think what $49 sounds like, y'all might do well with conversions there because I have a hard time getting Groupon to go over. What was our last one?
We had a 49.59.
I want to say 59.69. Something like that.
60 bucks. Yeah.
It's hard to get them go any higher than that.
$20. Can I still get that deal?
Yeah, that was like 3 years ago.
It didn't help that the picture they put on that advertisement was like a picture of like a fitness studio, and it was like a bunch of girls like on aerobic steps with like the foam barbells, like lifting them over their head, like smiling.
And yeah, they show up, and it's like, this is not.
I haven't looked at it.
Sweaty guys.
I haven't looked at it like in detail, but I'm pretty sure our picture is just a picture of a female's abs. So I don't really know how
that works. Good.
And whatever's above the abs, I don't know.
Guys and girls like that. That's good.
Yeah. Girls want to be that, and guys want to be around that. So perfect marketing for you.
You're going to be disappointed when they walk in and see the two of us.
Probably.
Where are the abs at?
All right, let's dig a little bit more into the programming at the garage. How has that evolved over time? You just told us what you do currently, but you know, what have you done in the past, and how have you changed it, and how have you tweaked it?
Yeah, in the past, we used to do it very much like main site, or like most gyms. When we started 4 years ago, it was main site most of the time.
That was before
you just straight copied off whatever main site was doing, and that's what you guys did too.
Yeah, most of the time. And that was before I actually got to the garage. This was just back when it was starting up. But it ran very much like the main site would, in that there would be a Metcon on this day and a Metcon on this day, and today we're just going to show up and do a strength move, right? We'll do seven singles of this or five doubles of that. We didn't start throwing in the strength on top of the Metcon until fairly recently, about a little over a year ago, we started doing that. And that was the biggest, we saw the biggest benefits from that. You can read anywhere on the internet that that's a bad idea. You don't want to go right from doing three sets of five back squats into a 10-minute Metcon. But the reality is you're adaptable enough to get through that, and even novices are going to be fine with it.
Yeah, I don't understand why a lot of people are opposed to that at all.
We've never had an issue with it.
Yeah. No.
And yeah, I think from the client's perspective, psychologically, like if a person's brand new and they come in and they do seven singles and then they go home and they're a 42-year-old woman that's been working at an accounting firm for the last 15 years and hasn't done anything, and they do like practice reps with just the bar and tens and they do seven singles, she feels like she didn't do shit.
Yeah.
And she wants to have her heart rate, you know, go through the roof and really feel like she did something and sweat and all that stuff. So
especially somebody that knows about CrossFit. I think
clients like having a little bit of a Metcon, even if it's short after the strength work.
They want to get their butts kicked when they come in.
You are absolutely right about that. Yeah, it's a big selling point. People, strength training, while some of us may see it as the more important aspect, because you can't do anything if you're not strong, obviously. Yeah. But if they don't have that Metcon, if they don't have that fun, that excitement, that burn, that community, I mean, it builds bonds, right? When you're sitting there looking at somebody laying on the floor after a workout, they love that. So it's definitely important to keep that in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also find, I said this in an earlier podcast too, is I find that people want to set PRs on the strength side of things. It's like an intrinsic thing. They want to do it for them, and they want to beat their previous record. But when you get to the conditioning side of things, they want to beat the next guy.
Yeah.
So I think you're going to, it's almost like you're appealing to them in two different ways, and they're going to push themselves really hard. So, and we discussed a little bit about on the strength side of things. So you do like, basically you don't do Olympic lifts for like 3 weeks at a time and you throw it in.
Well, we definitely do.
Yeah. We'll see it. You'll see an Olympic lift every week, whether it's in a Metcon or not. So within, I do 3 weeks of a strength move in a Metcon, and then 1 week of a skill in a Metcon. And during that 3 weeks, there's at least one Olympic move, whether it's a squat clean or a full clean and jerk or whatever. And then during that skill week, I like to put in heavy stuff. So one time we put in super heavy back squats and wall balls. That was, it was something. It was difficult for sure. But you, even during that skill week, you'll see Olympic lifts, just because they're in the Metcon, and they're in the Metcon heavy too. We don't mess around during that off week.
Gotcha.
So it deloads, but it doesn't, more on the powerlifting side of things does it deload, not necessarily a total rest.
Yeah, we're also trying to integrate more clinics too for people that want to get more into that. So like just a day of nothing but just weightlifting technique, things like that, a couple hour session or something like
that.
Oh,
good.
And other clinics as well between mobility. Running. We're trying to get into that. And we've got a couple guys that are, that's kind of their area of expertise. So we're trying to do free clinics for members and stuff like that. Maybe once a month, I think is what we're trying to shoot for.
And I know you guys have both said that your styles are very different. You know, maybe briefly talk about like your background versus your background and kind of why you guys have differing styles and how you work around that, you know, being in the same facility.
head first.
Yeah.
Lots of conflict.
Well, actually, I don't know. We both fought a little bit of MMA. You came from swimming, yeah. I guess, originally, right? And
You've read my bio on the website.
Yes. Simon Nickerson, was it? I really came from a completely different, just regular Globo gym. I worked at a regular Globo gym when I was like, I don't know, 15 or something like that, my mm-hmm. first job. So I was just really into the whole bodybuilding aspect of it or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And, I remember you talking a little bit about that the first time you were on the show.
Yeah. So
what episode was that? You know what episode that was?
A couple episodes.
18.
Yeah.
18.
Is okay. That long ago?
God, time getting flies. Old.
I am. Yeah, so I'm much weaker than I was then.
Especially in the legs, right?
Yeah, especially in the legs. No, actually, that's something we need to talk
because
about.
Because Simon was programming for you?
This is what happened. He was, yeah. He's got him and his brother both have tree trunks for legs. And yeah. Me and one of the owners, we have much larger upper bodies. And it's probably just from me doing nothing but bench for the first 5 years of my training.
Right.
So, yeah. Thursdays was leg day, so I just didn't go in. Right? So
I remember people skipping that all the time.
My shoulders are sore from Wednesday. Yeah. I don't want the bar on my back. The traps are killing me. And that's pretty much what it was. But we actually, me and one of the owners, we did Operation Tree Trunk. So, patent pending on that.
Yeah, we still make fun of them.
Yeah. It's all right, though. So we're planning on breaking their legs. Him and his brother's legs, and then we're going to do nothing but work lower body for 6 months.
I think I should just do leg transplant.
Yeah,
just
we could, those. Yeah. Just a leg, yeah. Just literally put a cinder block in the quad. No, yeah. So I've actually had a lot of gains in legs recently because that's always been my weakest point, so that's what I've been focusing on.
How often do you squat?
Personally. I think I was actually talking about Chris Moore about that the other day. I'm squatting 3 times a week now.
Uh-huh.
So... once front, once back, and then I normally do full lifts, full Olympic lifts.
Yeah.
Completely. So I normally have a either overhead or in a full clean or whatever, a heavy session of that, which is I kind of consider the same thing. I'll do work to triples or sometimes even fives in lifts, not that often because those just suck. But so I'm squatting
because it's hard.
Yeah, it's too difficult. I mean, my weak legs aren't quite as weak as they were previously. So definitely seen a lot out of it. Not quite as freakishly strong as the Nickerson kids though in the lower body.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing Justin and I have talked, we've talked about it a little bit just because we somehow end up in the car for long periods together. But I'd be interested to hear.
No hand holding.
None. It's a stick shift. I got to work the.
What?
This is not that kind of podcast.
So, but one thing I'd like to hear more about is what carried over from your Globo gym days that still either has shaped your training or has molded it in that it stayed with you or that you've shook it completely.
I think I've had a complete paradigm shift. Yeah, because I wasn't worried about anything. I mean, cardio or running or anything like that was just on the treadmill for 5 minutes to get my heart rate up before I started lifting. And I wasn't worried about being strong at all. I was just worried about, looking swole.
Getting huge.
Yeah, getting huge, bro. When I stepped into the ring, I wanted to beat the guy before I ever fought him, So.
Like he's just so scared of your rippling muscle mass that he wouldn't even fight you.
And that, yeah, exactly. He's like, all right, look, I tap. Like you see these softball shoulders. It does
make me laugh when like MMA guys are doing like a bunch of bodybuilding stuff. I'm like,
yeah
you got so much energy in the day. You should probably use it on something more useful.
Can I fight you, please? For a lot of money.
But it's completely different now. So I really could give two craps about what I look like, obviously. And
you totally let yourself go.
Yeah, I have. Yeah. So, so I'm just worried about being as strong as I possibly can. The only thing that I have positive out of that is that I've got pretty strong overhead and pretty strong pressing ability from all those years of it just being ingrained.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, that's good.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what about you? What's your background?
I pretty much came from swimming. That was a sport that I took most seriously in high school. And jiu-jitsu and MMA followed after that, but I probably still dedicated way more time to swimming. So swimming was a total paradigm shift, but for a different reason. It's because we would put in tons of hours and swim thousands and thousands of yards. The longest practice I ever did was a little over 13,000 yards in 3 hours. That's, does that make you fast for a 100 breaststroke? I don't know. Maybe.
If my coach, we have a whole podcast on that, actually.
If my old coach is listening, yes, it does.
He's not.
So it was. I'm not going to call him about it either. It was a total shift from tons and tons of volume. And if you want to get better, you have to hurt, and you have to hurt for a long, long time. To, you know, three sets of five.
Right.
Fran, wait a minute. 2 minutes? That's what I can work out for? Sounds good to me.
I mean, coming from that kind of like mindset and that kind of having that kind of work ethic, excuse me, is probably helped in the sense that everything now just doesn't seem so bad.
Yeah, exactly. There's no workout where I felt absolutely wrecked more than what I did to myself in swimming.
So I believe that.
Mental toughness was a huge gain and a big carryover.
I've seen a lot of guys from swimming backgrounds be able to just, you know, do a 15-minute Metcon, and it's like they're in a different zone than the average person, I guess.
Yeah, you do learn to turn yourself off.
Yeah.
Just shut everything that doesn't need to be used down and go.
What about lifting? Where'd you get your lifting background?
CrossFit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, none at all before that. I mean, we would occasionally do something sort of haphazard with swimming in terms of strength and conditioning, but yeah, I didn't start lifting anything. I think I could back squat like 135 when I started CrossFit. Just absurd.
Yeah.
How often do you back squat now?
Usually twice a week, once or twice.
Or squat period, not just back squat, but squat.
Yeah, I would say no more than twice.
Okay.
Probably not enough, but
I was gonna say, you said before that you're a big fan of low bar versus high bar back squats. You know, you want to elaborate on that? Why are you such a big fan of low bar?
Yeah, I like low bar for all the basic reasons, like it's a little less stress on your lower back. You get more posterior engagement because you've changed the angle of your back and stretched your hamstrings as far as they'll go and that sort of thing. But really what I've seen from clients that I've taught is that when you put the bar on their back low, they actually learn how to use their posterior chain. You put it on them high and they tend to stay in that zone of quad engagement.
I go along with that. I feel like people would naturally squat the way that we're trying to get them to squat if the bar placement is a little bit lower.
Yeah.
That's actually a really interesting point. I hadn't really thought about that.
Bam.
Brain explosion.
What?
Are we supposed to learn on this? Is that okay?
We're supposed to teach
really
the audience. No, really, I think that's a great point.
I wasn't paying attention, actually, because Ashley stole the coffee. And I'm all
you're crying
up
on
now.
The inside.
Yeah, I was like, what? Squat?
Yeah. No, I'm a huge fan of things where if you can get somebody to do what you want them to do automatically, like just change the position of the bar rather than trying to sit there and explain, no, it's like this, not like that. That's fantastic. I'm going to use that.
Yeah, rather than going through a whole physics lesson with them.
Yeah.
Just put the bar low.
Yeah, I like low bar for people who have knee pain. Like, oh, my knees hurt. I'm like, we may not want to push your knees forward too much. So low bar is going to be much more better for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
People who have flexibility issues who might want to try and keep more vertical shin, something like that, low bar is going to be much better too. So, but there's also reasons I like high bar. High bar is going to be what you're going to see in CrossFit competitions. So
yeah, I think it's
a much more similar movement for Olympic lifts and for
regular air squats.
And just for, yeah, if you watch people air squat, they're not doing like the powerlifting low bar back squat when they go down. If they are, they're probably not going as fast or conserving as much energy, I don't think.
But playing devil's advocate on the low bar too, like you said, I mean, most people that come in, the main issues that they have is weak posterior chain, and I think
that's true.
If somebody's got weak hamstrings, they probably need to start with a low bar.
You guys do any box squatting with the low bar, or are you just low bar, no box?
Oh, box squatting. No, we don't mess with the box.
Okay.
I think I was talking to you about it one time before, all the different things that people use, the chains, the bands, and all that stuff. That's cool once you get to a certain point. But for most people, they can just do simple strength stuff, and they're going to keep getting stronger as long as they keep putting load on the bar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Doug introduced something that was pretty cool to me in regard to, like, low bar back squatting, is sitting someone down in the box and starting them at the bottom to teach them how to squat. And that way, like, you can set them up perfectly in the bottom and then have them engage to come up. So a lot of times people, they'll go down real well, and as soon as they change direction, you know, their knees dive in, and, you know, they do all sorts of stupid stuff. But if you sit them down in the box, all right, your feet will be here. Move your knees out and then have them start from the bottom. That works well too.
What kind of load are you going to put on somebody when you start them at the bottom like that?
Oh, the barbell.
Okay.
Yeah, or, like, if you're teaching them.
Or nothing.
Or nothing. We we do mess with that occasionally. Mm-hmm. Squat therapy, where you're against the wall, and then that unloaded. We'll do that with some clients that can't get things right at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you don't ever load it up on new clients or novice lifters.
What, on a box squat?
Like a heavy box squat.
Yeah, we'll do some decently heavy box squats sometimes. We're not gonna, like, have them pause at the bottom and, like, readjust things.
Not at an intro session, though.
No,
not in fundamentals.
Yeah,
no.
Shoot, even 6 months into an athlete being at your gym,
yeah, they might see a box squat. So we haven't been doing a lot lately, but we've definitely been through phases where we would focus for a month or two on a low bar box squat. So I think it'd be really beneficial for people.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like what you were talking about, is it teaches them to engage their posterior chain. And sometimes people will kind of dive down, catch the bounce out of the bottom, and there's nothing wrong with that. I love that. But but teaching them to pause and take their time and then drive, you know, and get their hips under involved, it's it can be a lot different for them.
But yeah, like most things, I just view it as one more tool. You know, if it using a box to teach somebody how to squat or starting them at the bottom or, you know, any of these things, like, it can be safe for anybody, you know, if you're there coaching them to do it the correct way. But that concept of reverse patterning, I've got a lot of value from, and it's worked out really well for me. I use it for lunges and split squats and squatting and push-ups, like starting people at the bottom and putting them in position and having come right up out of that perfect position, because it's now they know right where to go to when they go back down. Whereas if they start at the top, they don't know where to put their feet, and they're like, is this wide enough? Is that wide enough? I don't know. But if you sit them down, then you can say, this right here is a vertical shin. That's how wide your feet are going to be. Just stand up, and it's right the first time instead of having to play with your foot position or play with your stance.
We really are pretty much talking about a beginning situation. So, like,
teaching
someone
a beginner
further in a training, or someone, obviously, it's in, I guess, an Olympic lifting, I guess you would. Most Olympic lifters, you're going to see high bar back squat.
Yeah. I remember first starting CrossFit, and I come from a weightlifting background. And then, you know, sit back. And I was kind of confused about that at first.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, don't let your knees go forward. And because I come from that background, I'm going to squat low or a high bar almost all the time. I do low bar like 3 months of the year. And that's just to save my knees. When my knees will start getting achy, it's like, okay, I'll start a cycle with low bar.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll make my knees feel better, and then I'll go back to high bar back squats. If you're Olympic lifting, I think high bar is definitely the way to go. I'm not really familiar with any Olympic weightlifting coaches that do a lot of low bar besides Ripito.
Yeah, I was about to say, since we are on that, why don't you give us some Rip impersonations?
Oh boy.
On the spot.
That's a lot of pressure right there. Oh, I can't even think of my favorite one. Well, I'd say if we're going to talk about the low bar back squat, I'm probably going to want to sit up right here, right behind you. Just make sure your hips go back. That way you're in the position for that hip drive.
The hip drive.
I like it.
I don't even know what that's like. Is that like a Ned Flanders? Like, but a little drunk?
Drunk Ned Flanders?
Yeah, like the sexually abusive uncle or something?
All right, drive your hips back, further back, hips further back.
So, right, do you guys do high bar at all?
No, I never program high bar.
But we do have athletes that come in high bar back squatting, and we don't tell them not to either. So
yeah, and it depends on things. Like I said earlier, if they're rolling to their toes, if I walk in and see somebody in my class is high bar back squatting and their feet are terrible and their knees are too far forward and their shin angle's wrong, then if I can't fix it in the high bar position, then I have no problem moving them to a low bar. If everything looks good, then I'll leave them where they are.
And you personally do nothing but low bar. You don't do any high bar?
No, I don't do any high bar.
You don't feel like that would help your Olympic lifts?
Maybe that's why I'm not very good at this CrossFit thing. I should probably start.
Yeah, that being said, he's actually got some pretty good numbers in the CrossFit community. Anyways,
right, no, for sure.
For lifting. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And that's what we were talking about. It's like,
have you ever done a high bar?
Yeah, but not to do a one rep max.
No.
Okay. Just like warm up sets with it. Just to see what you people were on about.
What do you clean?
325.
325. Is that more of a power clean or do you catch that at the bottom?
That's a bottom. Power is like 315.
Okay. Do you do any front squatting?
Yeah.
Do you carry that all the way to the bottom or do you kind of like treat that kind of like, or you kind of catch a bounce out of the bottom when you train front squat?
I try not to bounce at all. I like to be solid and stay down there and not destroy my knees. I feel like I put a lot of pressure on them if I'm bouncing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you definitely put pressure on your knees if you bounce out of the bottom.
I'm tight, and I mean, when it comes to competition time, anything pretty much goes, right? You can let the back go on the deadlift, and you can get real sloppy with things if it helps get the weight up. But,
yeah,
when it comes to training, I try to stick to being a little more rigid and safe.
Do you feel like you can get lower in your front squat than your low bar back squat? You feel like it's like two totally different, I mean, they are different lifts, but you feel like
That's true.
You feel like
it's actually different.
You feel like it's like that much different, or as far as like the way your hips move?
As far as my depth, I mean, there's a clear difference in where my hips are in terms of proximity to my feet, but depth doesn't matter. I can get all the way to the bottom in either one of them.
Do you go all the way bottom in a low bar back squat?
No, I'll hit just below parallel.
Okay. But in the front squat, you're saying it's just you go much deeper.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you are training the depth. That's kind of what I was getting at, like with a high bar a lot of times is getting a little bit deeper with more weight. So you're going to be limited on your front squat weight. So your front squat's probably nowhere near your back squat.
My back squat's not very good. Oh. Is that like the straw that broke the camel? He doesn't know what he's talking about, all this low bar crap.
So you clean 325. What do you back squat?
395.
Oh. Wow.
So there's been... That's low bar. There's been an interesting shift in my training here. I've been doing tons and tons of fives with low bar. So my low bar five is at 370 and my one is at 395. So it's very close. My front squat's at 360. So that's...
So that's actually impressive for somebody who only low bars.
Kind of...
Yeah, I'm like really confused. Those numbers don't even make sense. That's what I'm thinking. I feel like you should be like... low bar back squatting like 435. At least if you're cleaning, if you clean 325 and you're front squatting what 360?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should be well into the mid fours.
This is why I like to base my information on high bar and low bar back squatting on my clients that I train and not a weirdo like me. It works much better. The data is actually, you can actually use it.
Yeah, he is. Simon, in the couple months that I've been training with him, he is kind of a freak of nature. I mean, he never wears shoes. Yeah. He snatched 250.
I noticed at faction games, you're running around barefoot.
He snatched 250 not long ago at barefoot.
Oh, man.
Just, you know.
That's legit.
Yeah,
no wraps, no chalk, just... Yeah. It only took me like 18 tries.
Yeah. there was an epic video about it, though. There was some knee...
That's funny.
Yeah, so... Yeah, but he hardly
hear that?
Ever wears... I didn't.
No.
That's
no. good.
Yeah, he Burping hardly ever wears friend. Shoes. He did this morning out in that cold grass dew, though.
So whatever you're doing is working. As long as you don't encounter a low bar... back squat in a CrossFit competition, you're fine.
What are you talking about? I low bar back squat all the time.
Are you guys going to program that into the Garage Games competitions now?
Low bar.
Low bar back squat, one rep max. Yeah, five rep max is what you should do.
That's right. What I need.
You should program, see how many you can do five of.
So I'm going to try to.
That's how you pick winners.
But you got to snatch it up over here.
Heck, what are you talking about?
You said that. 95% for max reps. You'd smoke everybody. Everyone would get two. You get seven.
He's sandbagging.
That's right.
Have you played with chains or bands at all?
Bands a little bit, yeah. I like to hang kettlebells with bands from the barbell to do press and overhead squat. Those are two of my favorite oddball movements.
I like the bench with that.
That sounds hard.
Have you not done the bands with kettlebells on the bench?
I've done it on the bench.
Like the bamboo bar. What is it? Lou Simmons does something
like
that.
We have one.
Yeah. We got a big PVC kind of floppy bar that people hang kettlebells up with the bands, and it just wiggles around the whole time.
Yeah. So picture that in an overhead squat, and it's all sorts of fun.
On a balance board.
Yeah.
Yeah, on an endo board.
Endo board.
Yeah. I saw that video of you, by the way.
Overhead squatting.
Your claim to fit. Yeah, the overhead squatting on the endo board.
Nice.
Legit.
I'm good at really skill stuff. I'm not real strong, or my conditioning's
I'm good at stupid human tricks.
Circus tricks in there. I'm pretty good at the circus tricks.
You got the pistol and the kettlebell handle and all that good stuff.
All that stuff.
Nice.
I don't know. Actually, I've never tried that. I'm afraid I'm gonna hurt myself.
Yeah, we did actually. I was scared to death. We were doing one arm handstands or whatever on kettlebells, trying to just picture stuff or whatever.
Right.
Probably the scariest thing I've ever done in my life.
You're going to wreck yourself.
Yeah.
You just eat that kettlebell.
Yeah. I did it. There's a picture of it. That's it. That's enough.
Yep.
Don't even try to act like I didn't do that. I do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So you haven't done much bands, but you've done... So the band training you've done has just been like stability stuff, not actually like banded back squats.
Yeah, I haven't done banded back squats in months, but I did do a cycle of that, or a period of that. Cycle's not the right word because I don't do cycles. But yeah, I did some banded back squats for a little while.
Okay. I would just be curious. A guy like you has a back squat that you can get 5 reps. I would like to see like a heavy band and low reps, like maybe like 2 to 3 reps, like as heavy as you could go. You know, like big blue bands and you know, 200 pounds, something where you're getting like 450 pounds at the top.
Yeah, I think that the last time I did it,
interesting.
This was back when my 5 rep was somewhere around 340, and I put, I think I put 345 or 335 on there and green and blue bands and did triples. So.
You had a green and a blue?
Yeah.
That's a lot of tension.
That's a lot of tension.
None of your numbers make any sense.
I'm trying to tell you guys.
I want you to come train with Chris. See, I wish Chris was here for this conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
You need to come train with Chris one week or something. I think it'd be interesting. So
another trip up here. I want to train with you guys over here, but it's been kind of a whirlwind trip.
It was a bad weekend for us for doing any of that.
I'm barely functioning right now.
I know.
I'm like,
we could tell, Mike.
I'm like, third day in a row, no sleep, tons of coffee.
This is actually first day. This was day 4, and I've broken down. So, honey, I'm sorry.
It's my fault. Broke out the French press and the illy. So
it's too much of a.
It's too good.
Yeah.
Well, so I didn't have to make an announcement that I officiated my first wedding last night. So.
You did a good job.
Yeah.
Yes. Golf clap for it. That's good.
So that's one reason I'm not functioning too well. I used up all my good speaking skills last night. So I was
all
like,
of them.
All of the speaking skills.
Do you? Do you? Let's drink.
So like afterwards, somebody was like, you should give a speech. I'm like, I just did the whole thing.
I just
like,
did. I just married people.
Like, I used it all up. I'm tapped out. No more. Oh. And then we stayed out till the wee hours and then woke up for this.
We didn't. We had plans to go out. And we ended up in...
Could have come partied with us.
Yeah, we probably should have, but just ended up passing out. I don't know.
So if any of you CrossFitters are getting married, I'm offering new services of Faction Strength Conditioning.
And I'll come down as well.
Yeah. Justin, he'll DJ the wedding. I'll be the officiant. We could start like a whole new thing.
We should.
Mm-hmm.
CTP, he filmed it last
photography.
Night.
I was the best man, if anybody needs the best man.
Doesn't one of you guys do photography? Lisa.
Oh, yeah.
Lisa Mack?
We could have like a whole like CrossFit wedding team.
Needs to happen.
You don't even have to have friends with the plug-in best man. And
fitter
everything.
Wedding. There you go. Stuff,
that's right.
I'm pretty sure.
We know lots of people. We could bring people.
We could qualify as like a...
Even if you don't have a bride, we'll provide
We could be like a <That's right.
laughs> CrossFit Order Brides.
That's what's right.
We could be a
faction trap.
Nonprofit. We could be a nonprofit. Yeah.
Fitter.wed.
That way I can get ordained and we can start a church. Not a cult. We're not a cult.
Church. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're already mm-hmm. close enough to being. Yeah.
Yeah. Some girl that some girl. The bride.
Girl.
Oh, wow.
This chick.
That wedding did not go well.
Use the name, Michael.
The bride's sister got up and, you know, she doesn't do CrossFit or anything. She just knows who we are. She's like, yeah, my sister joined this cult. And
yeah.
Like, oh, I do have a client up there that that's become pretty good friends with. And she is just adamant about CrossFit being exactly like religion. And I haven't sat down with her and gotten everything, but she keeps talking about. I was like,
there are some similarities.
Yeah,
should we bring her on the podcast?
She should. Yeah, she could totally be on the podcast.
That'll be how we get her into the group.
You hear that, Farmer?
Oh, we're gonna lose some clients over this, or some listeners.
I don't know. We might gain some more.
Who knows?
Drinking the Kool-Aid, isn't that where it came from?
Yeah, I plan on doing that one day. You know, starting a big compound and. Have anyone live there, and we just drink Kool-Aid every day.
You're not going to call it Jim Jones, are you?
And then one day, I'm going to drop some poison in it.
That's J-Y-M. Jim Jones?
No.
Oh, man, that's G-Y-M. A genius business name. Could you imagine the marketing power?
It's intelligent about that. Yeah. We should do a movie.
So I'd love to backtrack. Well,
maybe we should get back on topic.
Yeah, what are we talking about? If we're talking about my DJ, Garage One, I'll be DJing the event.
Are you?
There you go.
Nah, not really. Kind of. Yeah, we'll have all stuff out there, so we'll actually have professional, so you can hear stuff, so it's not just a bunch of people on megaphones like most CrossFit events.
Mm.
So hopefully that'll be a little bit of an improvement so everybody knows where everything is.
So the Garage Games won this past year. Y'all changed venue. I didn't. This past year was the first year I didn't go.
It was outside and it was frigid and
that's a nice way to put it.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been to Garage Games and competed when it's like snowing and sleeting.
It was actually
like
snowing.
Calves are cramping up and
guys doing cling and jerk ladders and there's literally snow coming down on the bars.
Awesome.
So it was.
Yeah, that was fun. I ran an event in Green
Bay.
Did
you do that barefoot?
No. No. I considered it, but then I decided I didn't want to be that much of an idiot. So I went and ran an event in Green Bay. It was 32 degrees and sunny in January 7th. And then in February, I'm thinking this is going to be total cake. It was 30 and cloudy and snowing and sleeting a little bit. I'm like, wait a minute. I was just...
It's not supposed to be this way.
I don't understand the weather. Can we talk about that for a little while?
Can we talk about the weather?
Talk about the weather. Excellent podcast, guys.
We can talk about anything.
Best episode ever.
Well, I think it might be time to wrap things up.
Before we get on
shit,
the weather.
We're out of stuff to talk about.
All right, we'll actually sign off here, and then we'll start talking for another hour after this. Yeah. We're like, oh, man, we should have said that on the podcast.
What about airplane food? What's up with that?
Another awesome topic.
90s comedian here.
That's right.
All right, Doug, you got anything? What's your plug?
My plug for the day? Actually, I hadn't thought it out, but I guess I'm going to talk about mobility at the Garage Games 1 event. So if you want to get a few of my thoughts on mobility ahead of time, if you're not able to make it out to that event, then you can go to the Fitter Shop and check out Maximum Mobility, and you can see... a video of the seminar I did here from a while back.
Justin.
Go for it, Justin.
Yes. Plug, I just really want to talk about the Garage Games 1 and Worldwide WOD. So the gym resolutions. I think it's kind of a cool event. It's going to be, I don't know, a little bit different from some other competitions that are nationwide or whatever.
What's if I want to go learn about that, what's the website I need
best
to
thing to do? I mean, there's... different people that are over different regions or whatever, the best thing, blanket, wherever you're at, just go to the Garage Games website, garagegames.com.
.com.
Yes.
Isn't it thegaragegames.com?
It's...
Yeah, if you want to go to garagegames.com, you'll actually get to a software development company.
I know.
Don't go there.
That's what I'm saying. It's like let's say games. The Garage... I've done that before. I'm like...
He Garage.
Do you guys make cool games?
I just use the Googles.
Yeah, or Google it. Yeah, Google the Garage
Google's
Games.
Google's the best way.
TheGarageGames.com. Yeah, and if you're an affiliate and you want to get in and host one of those Worldwide WOD Resolutions events, then you can email us games@CrossFitGarage.com.
Bam.
Very cool.
Also, something not like, I guess, kind of a sales point. It's probably going to be the cheapest route for any gym to maybe do their first event. because there's not going to be like, oh, I've got to come up with all this and this and this and this. The only thing you're really
going to overhead.
Yeah. They're going to get a percentage of all the profit, and really all they have to come up with is insurance if they don't have it. So.
And if you're doing, I think if you're doing RRG, I think RRG is actually
most gyms are already probably going to have that coverage.
Yeah. You just got to let them know that you're going to do one, I think.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got anything, or you kind of already did it?
That's it. GamesAcrossFitGarage.com.
If you live in Woodstock, you should probably train.
At the garage.
At the garage, yeah.
Garage.
Did you know we had a gym there?
CrossFitGarage.com.
There you go. All right. So go train there. And I want you to go to fitter.tv, F-I-T-R.tv, and sign up for our newsletter so you can keep up with all the new stuff we're doing. Later, guys.
Rock and roll.
You bet.
Top fellas.
Boobies.